Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Philbrook Museum opened two new photographic exhibits at their downtown location this past weekend. Both center on Tulsa and Oklahoma, separated by 50 years. The first is the first Oklahoma Museum showing of Larry Clark's seminal photographic portfolio titled Tulsa, a highly influential and controversial photographic project that treated shocking images of sex, violence, and drug use among a group of Tulsa young people in the early 60s as ordinary occurrences, alongside images of friendly parties and solitude by members of the group. The second is a new project by actor and professional skateboarder Jason Lee. OK Jason Lee Photographs features over 150 color and black and white photographs of both landscapes and architecture here in Tulsa and throughout the state. His eye captures images of forgotten downtowns, homes and neighborhoods in various states of repair or neglect, and urban and rural landscapes that reflect a changing time. Both shows are on display at Philbrook's downtown location now through November 10th. I'm joined by Scott Stulen, the executive director of Philbrook Museum, and also the curator for the Jason Lee exhibit, to talk about these two new exhibits. Scott Stulen, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a very interesting exhibit downtown, which features two sides of Oklahoma, one of forgotten landscape, another of forgotten people. What was went into the decision to put these two photographic exhibits together?
Well, they were kind of happening independent. So we had acquired the Larry Clark portfolio recently, and we wanted to be able to show those prints now that we had those in our collection. And then we had been in these conversations with Jason about doing a show, and he was really interested in coming up and having extended time in Oklahoma and shooting all of this new work. And it seemed as the kind of things evolved, it seemed to make sense that we could have these two visions of Oklahoma 50 years apart that have some threads between but are also distinctly different too.
You know, as we just passed the race massacre anniversary, another unspoken story of Tulsa is the story of these photographs that Larry Clark took in the early 60s and published right around 1970, 1971.
Correct. And it's highly influential, probably more than people even realize, is that, of course, it showcased a certain side of Tulsa, and it was it's raw, and it's a very honest, unvarnished vision of a certain group of people that Larry was part of. And I think it's really important that he was part of that group and documented from the inside.
It was not exploitative in of itself. He was documenting his peer group as he was living in this situation.
That's correct. And I think as that gets out and you kind of see it, then that, you know, merged some controversy about that, about the whole question of inside and outside and kind of how you view those. And because of that, when the book came out in 1971, it was incredibly influential across the art world because it really changed about kind of thinking about documentation of groups, particularly being from the inside. And for photographers, really influential too. And then I think what was interesting about it is, of course, it had an impact here in Tulsa because these are real people. These are people in the community. It's showing a certain part of Tulsa that maybe people would rather not look at. But also outside of here, it had a real impact in the art world, too. So, and that's legacy has continued on, and it's just as vibrant today as it was then.
When you see a film like Francis Ford Coppola's Rumblefish,
correct,
you see any of the late 80s work of Gus Van Sant, you're
yes,
looking at Larry Clark's imagery as maybe a starting point for those films.
Absolutely. And what's interesting as a thread is that for Jason Lee, the other exhibition we have is Rumblefish is a key point for him, too.
Really?
He actually uses that as a reference point. And one of the processes when he was about to shoot, starting the Oklahoma series, before he even went out and started shooting in Tulsa, we actually sat and watched Rumblefish at Philbrook inside of our auditorium just with Jason. And he watched it. It was kind of like setting his palette, setting some of the scenes for it. So there's an interesting connection there.
Interesting. Well, before we talk about Jason Lee's project, I do want to mention, because some people may not be all that familiar with the Tulsa series. This was
sure, a
series of photographs he's taking in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
He's living in a group of almost a home of disaffected youth.
Right.
There's frank depictions of using drugs. But I think people look at the most notorious images from that mm-hmm. series and think it's all like that. But it really is depicting this sort of, it's very poignant for its use of these kids basically living on their own in a house by themselves. It's sort of the theme of things like Rebel Fish and The Outsiders.
Absolutely.
Yeah, kids raising themselves in a way.
It is. And, you know, actually, Essie Hinton was at the opening the other night, and she was kind of responding to it and saying, you know, they're both coming at this kind of group of kids from two totally different directions. But I think for Larry, it's there is that. There is those notorious images in there, but there's actually a lot less of those than people may realize.
And but they're the ones that get reproduced all the time.
Of course they are, and that's normal. But but I think looking at it, and for me it's the first time I've actually, when we got the whole suite, of seeing the prints in person. Very well aware of the book, but it's different seeing the prints. And there is a beauty in there. Many of them are really artistic shots of things through windshields and through different types of like backlit. And they're really not the what you'd expect is these kind of like, dry documentary type shots. They're not that at all.
And many of these are made by an 18-year-old kid.
That's right. And he's using a lot of darkroom techniques with it, too. There's very few images in there that are a straight-up shot. They're all been dodged and burned in different ways and kind of and altered to some extent. And he's telling a story through that. And again, for me, looking through it, it is looking at this group of youth. But there is a certain amount of like anxiety there. That you can see fear in some people's eyes. You can see a certain amount of just kind of like uncertainty of the future. And sometimes just this thousand-yard stare that's in these young kids looking at it that are just not sure what their future is going to be. And in that way, I think the whole group, it is a very specific group that Larry's part of, but could be any city, anywhere, really any time, that there are these groups of kids that just are lost in some cases. And I think that's really important to see.
I think something else that makes it more powerful is that he took many of these photographs when he was 18. He comes back shortly before he decides to publish this and shoots more photographs of these same people now 7 years later.
Right.
And you can see the toll that this life has had on these,
that's right,
these people. I mean, you can see people have aged decades in that 7 years.
That's right. And I think what's important is seeing in that is that it's easy to take a couple image and see that it has this glamorous like rock and roll drug kind of lifestyle or something to it of being kind of the punk rock kids on the edge.
Yeah.
But when you really see that toll and how, you know, really how much people age in a short period of time and what it really did to real people's lives. And I think this is really important looking at it is when people take it in is these are real people that lived in Tulsa. These are real people's lives that are being depicted here and had real impact from that. This isn't a film. This isn't that distance from it. And I think because of that, I think there's a very different way that we take that in.
And I think a lot of times when people think of his work, they think of him as a filmmaker, somebody who would come in and, if not orchestrate it, he's there for exploitative value. This was not necessarily the case in Tulsa.
It's not. I mean, this is really early, obviously. He's a kid, too, shooting this.
Yes, right. He's a part of this.
He is. And I think some of his later work kind of goes in some different directions, of course. But I think why this body of work, and Tulsa still remains to be revered, and this body is so powerful, is because of that rawness. There isn't any of that kind of outside kind of like worrying about the art world or kind of what this looks like. This is an unvarnished, honest depiction. And I think really what I encourage people to, if you only have seen a few of those kind of iconic images, is to come and see it and actually see the full breadth of it, because that's actually a very small number of it. And I think you'd be surprised to see how poignant, how artistically shot, and actually how touching a lot of the images are.
And this is the first Oklahoma Museum showing of these photographs.
It is. It's been shown in a few galleries here over the years, mm-hmm. Here in Oklahoma, but it's the first museum show of the work.
And so why is it important for Philbrook to show this?
I think it's really important for us to be able to not only show the work, but also that we acquired it into our collection. So Larry Clark is a very important artist, incredibly influential from Tulsa. And I think if Philbrook's going to be relevant and really showing relevant artwork both worldwide and also about what's coming out of Oklahoma and Tulsa, this is an essential part we need in our collection.
Okay. So now tell us about the second collaboration with Jason Lee, a professional skateboarder, actor, television actor, yeah, film actor, voiceover artist, and apparently a very talented photographer.
He is. Jason's an interesting guy. He does a lot of different things over his career and very, very talented and dedicated. So kind of the story is that we had looked on Instagram and noticed that Jason had moved to the Dallas area, kind of moved out of L.A., and he'd been shooting photographs for quite some time. But really, in the last few years, I've gotten serious about it, really dedicating more time to that and wanting to start to show. So at the time, we had a Lucia Nelson photography show up from a couple years ago, and it's a film photographer from the 30s, and we thought that Jason shoots all film, that he might be interested in this. So Jeff Martin, our social media manager, reached out and said, hey, you might want to come up to Tulsa and see this show, and Jason came the next day. So he came up from Denton, where he was living at the time, packed up a bunch of his photographs and books in his car, and came up and spent the whole day at Philbrook. Loved the show, but then we started talking a bit about his work. And then that conversation just kind of kept on. So he would kind of text back and forth, send emails back and forth. And eventually, as he started doing this series about Texas, we started to have some conversations like, well, it'd be maybe interesting to do a series about Oklahoma. And he truly was taken by Tulsa. Not only kind of what Tulsa is, but the history here and the images that he was seeing. So every time he drove up, he's like, I can see all these shots that are here. So about a year ago exactly, we said, well, let's start this process. And we committed to doing the show, and this would be his first museum show. So he came up here, and he spent 3 weeks initially in June, and bought a bike and had his car and was basically going around Tulsa with the camera on his back and shooting.
We're not talking like a 35 millimeter. He's using a 4x5 tripod setup.
Tripod setup. So it's not a small feat to be dragging this around, particularly when it's like 100 degrees outside and doing it. So he started shooting, and that shooting continued on for about 8 months. So he would come back up here on trips. And at a certain point, we decided that instead of limiting it just to Tulsa, let's expand to the whole state of Oklahoma. So he started traveling all the way out to the Panhandle, up to Pitcher, Oklahoma, down along the Texas border, really sampling all over the place on these kind of week-long trips. And in the end, he ended up shooting about 2,200 images, all film, developing that, and then we started editing from that point down. And Jason, for this show, he started to create these groupings. He started to find images that seem to belong together. Some of it's formal. It may be things that all have a certain type of brick in them. Some might have a certain type of landscape, and they seem to make sense together. Some are more thematic, and they start to naturally kind of work themselves into these vignettes. So in the end, we end up with 183 images in the show. It's a lot to see.
It is.
And we're working on a catalog for this, too. They'll have even more in it. But I think what it does in the end is it really sums up that it isn't picking like 12 images that represent all of Oklahoma. It's a lot of breadth. It's showing all the different diversity of the landscape here, the people that live here.
But there is a common theme that runs through it, and it's definitely not looking at the shiny pretty. It's looking at the forgotten. One of the most striking images in this is, anybody who's lived in the state a long time will see this, especially in any rural setting throughout the West, throughout Texas. You'll see these settings of these old abandoned farmhouses that have stood up, really their force of nature, and finally nature is winning and they're collapsing. And it's a beautiful, beautiful image of this abandoned farmhouse in the middle of a pasture. It's now pasture land, and you can see evidence of cattle.
Yes.
Throughout. Yes. and it's a very striking image.
I it's one of my favorites in the show too. And I think there is this thread throughout, and kind of how Jason and I talked about it is his work is full of these different dichotomies. So there's either, you know, humans trying to take over the land and kind of work to dig it up, try to like build in it. And then there's the land taking it back. So these areas where this dilapidated farmhouse, there's the old convenience store that's covered now in vegetation as it's kind of disappearing back into it. And there's a lot of this kind of push-pull happening throughout. There's also images like have and have-nots. There may be kind of a boarded-up house, and then you see kind of, you know, the Devon Tower in the background, and you kind of see the difference between these different rich and poor areas too. And I think that's part of the strength in it, is you're seeing some things. Some things are funny. It might be a lake with a floating flamingo kind of pool toy in it that's there that might be somewhat humorous and ironic. But there's also, I think, throughout is that it's looking for things that are more subtle, things that may be more banal or mundane, a certain melancholy that's there. And there's a certain universal quality. And I think what Jason's doing is looking for beauty in those things we drive past every day, don't pay any attention to. Some of it is the person that's living under the underpass. There's that depicted. But there's also like just the random parking lot that may have this little shrub in the middle of it that really, when you stop to look at it, is somewhat amazing and somewhat beautiful.
Yeah.
But we never do that. So I think the strength of his work is getting you to slow down, spend a little bit of time, and actually look at these things.
And one of the things he did, at least in the Tulsa part of the show, was he returned to these same places over the seasons. There's some interesting images of a West Side home that looks over the river.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it in winter, you're seeing it in summer, spring, and really a whole suite of photographs of this one spot.
That's right. And I think in some ways, I think Jason's very cinematic in his approach.
Sure.
You know, coming from the film and background, is that returning to different things. And we even talked about the show as being scenes, thinking about different scenes. And these are kind of these different shots and coming back to that scene in seasons. And we got lucky for part of it. His last visit up here was in November, I believe. And it was he did a little event, and then the next morning it snowed. And it was one of the last times he was shooting. I got to shoot a bunch of these images, but it kind of made certain parts of the exhibition.
Yeah. My guest today is Scott Stulen, the executive director of Philbrook Museum, and he's also the curator for the Jason Lee's OK Jason Lee Photographs, also showing Larry Clark's Tulsa series at Philbrook Downtown. It opened over the weekend and is now on display through November 10th, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. One of the things I found very interesting was there was this sense of, and it's a long held sense from a lot of people who have been involved with rural America, that mm-hmm. rural America is really changing, not for the better, and there's a sort of a sense of documentary in that. And from what I read, the Texas series and his first work out in California was not in Southern California. It was out in the Central Valley. It was out in these forgotten landscapes there as well. That seems to be a central theme of the work as well.
Very much so. And I think he has a love for that landscape and for those communities and those areas. And it is, I think what's really important is there's no irony here. It's not viewing it from this like distance of I'm the outsider kind of coming into these areas. You know, he very much is part of this and wants to be part of this. And he's not saying that I live in these areas and I know everything about it. But there is actually very much a love for those small town communities.
Because oftentimes in the small town community, he's taking perhaps one of the most interesting architectural elements that may be in good condition or maybe not so good condition. It was 30 years ago, and he's photographing that look.
Well, I think one good example is that there's a couple of images that are some of my favorites in the show are these small churches in these communities. And it's a small little like one room, like, you know, building that has been maybe painted over several different times. There's a sign out front that is like far from perpendicular anymore. It's this building, and knowing that every single week there's a group of people that go there and they have an incredible experience. And they own that. They're part of that. This is part of their community, and it's loved. And no matter what it looks like, there's people there that are living in that, and it is part of their life, and there is an ownership of that. And I think that's really important. He's singling that out and saying, like, you know, look at this. This is beautiful. And there's something about this that we should admire. This isn't because something is may not be, you know, in the best condition anymore. It's about those people. And I think what's interesting at Jason's work is he's talking about people, but he's talking about it through architecture and landscape. There are a few people in some of the images, but it's rare.
Yeah.
It's really much more about the kind of artifacts that are left behind.
I was really struck by a number of images of, I call them assessor pictures. You know, when the county assessor comes by, takes a picture of the property.
Yes, there's a grid that's like that. There are 30 images. It's one of my kind of favorites there too, is that they're all shot from his car window. So 35 millimeter, just out the window, one shot, move along. That isn't really called out necessarily in it. You just kind of notice that they're all from the same vantage point, from the same distance.
Mm-hmm.
And they are exactly that kind of assessor image. But then you start to compare the similarities between architecture, and there's a lot of similarities there.
Well, what I loved about it was, okay, here's one house that's obviously still lived in, but somewhat in disrepair.
Yes.
The next one might be completely boarded up.
Yep.
The next one is in an immaculate shape.
Exactly.
And frankly, when you go through a lot of communities, even our community, you can see this. This is a symbol of American life today.
It is. And seeing that just kind of all kind of pushed up against each other. And I think that's what's kind of interesting. You kind of go from one experience to the other, you know, throughout the show. And because there's so many images, I think it's really, you can have these experiences looking at a single image and like really look at it and say, I know that street. I grew up there. We have people already have done that coming in. But I think that where the power is this, like intentionally, there isn't any label saying like this is, you know, this is Lawton, this is Bartlesville, this is like downtown Tulsa. And that's intentional. And part of it is that in some cases in some of these towns that we don't know exactly where something might be. But the real reason is this, is that the minute you put that specificity on it, it takes you in a different place. When it isn't there, I grew up in central small town Minnesota. There's several images in there, and I would say probably half the show that could be Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So when I look at kind of one of these like main streets of these small towns where half of the businesses are gone, that reminds me of home. And I have a connection to that in a way that I probably wouldn't if it said like this is a specific town. And so I think that universal quality to it brings a lot of strength, and we can bring some of our own stories, you know, to it and have some more personal things where with his photographs, he's not kind of putting that wall up and saying, this is my story only, but he wants to invite you in to have your story.
I think for lifelong Oklahomans who see this, such as myself,
yeah.
You're looking at it, you're trying to recognize this. Oh,
yes.
That's Shawnee. You know,
yes.
That's Pitcher.
Correct.
But in the course of identifying it, you're actually deeply examining each picture.
That's right. And I think that's a big part. So if there's a theme in both of these exhibitions, what I'm hoping is that it gets people to stop and look, to have a deeper looking. And I think we live in a world that we're just bombarded with images every day and so much. And we just blow by most of it. I just think about it. I just did it waiting here, looking through my Instagram feed. but we see so much. But how many times do we actually slow down and really deeply look at something? And I think Jason's work demands that. I think Larry's does too, in different ways. And I do think both these shows are shows that will reward viewers that come back multiple times. So you can come back and process it a little bit and then be able to look again.
Now, in addition to the photographs that are on the walls, there's also some extra stuff with this exhibit.
Yeah.
I guess there was a documentary being made about this project.
There is. So Jason brought out, and this is probably the filmmaker in him, but he brought out his son, Pilot, who's 15. He's a freshman in high school. And he shot a short film about the process. You actually see Jason on the road, and he packs up his car and with all of his photographic equipment, and you see him driving these small little roads throughout Oklahoma and shooting many of these shots. So it gives a great context for his process, but also giving just kind of a feel of being a road photographer. So that's before you enter the show, we have that short 7-minute video.
And there's also a set of snapshots.
There is. So we have actually invited, you know, the public to be part of this show, too. So we put up a hashtag. It's Jason Lee OK. And we're inviting people to take their own photographs, primarily through Instagram, but any social media is fine, of their Oklahoma. And so we've been collecting those, and we already have gotten 4,000 submissions for that.
Wow.
We expect a lot more as things go on. But we've been picking out, and Jason's been picking out some of his favorites, too, and we're printing those. And we're hanging them up in the lobby of the museum, too. So you'll be able to see perhaps your own image up there alongside. We'll be changing out images throughout the whole run of the show there, too.
Have you been surprised by how many people submitted?
Yes.
I mean, everybody's submitting Instagrams all the time, but, you know, but it is kind of surprising that somebody would hashtag it and send it to the museum.
There's an amazing amount of interest and reach. And I think partly, you know, there's a whole thing of now that everybody has a very high quality camera with them almost all the time.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's a whole nother show we could talk about. But I think because of it, we're always kind of looking and people are photographing. Instagram's had a big part of that. But again, what I'm hoping is this gets people to look, and we've seen that in the photographs already, look around their neighborhood, look around their community a little closer and see maybe beauty in that, you know, Route 66 sign that's in disrepair, that's here against that perfect Oklahoma sky, and maybe take a shot of it.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful exhibit. Is there special programming involved with the shows?
There is. We're going to have programming running throughout the summer and the fall because both shows are going to run through November at Philbrook Downtown. We are showing Almost Famous, and Jason will be here for that. If you remember, he's the lead singer of the band in that film, so he'll be introducing that, and that's on June 28th over at our main campus for Films on the Lawn. We're also actually doing a feature at at the drive-in in town. So at Admiral Troon, we're going to show Rumblefish, and Jason's going to be here for that. So so that'll be in August, on August 22nd. So those two things are coming up, and we will have some various talks and other tours that'll be coming up throughout the summer.
Now, you curated this show, right?
I did.
So what was that experience like for you, and what did you learn about his craft as you went through that process with him?
It was a really enjoyable process. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about his process and about him. I think also that he is an incredibly generous artist. He's very thoughtful and one of the most hardworking people I've ever met. And he truly was printing like 16-hour days to get this exhibition done. And I can tell you, even since the show's been up, he's still fine-tuning things and thinking about it and thinking about the next thing going forward. So it was really rewarding for me. And getting to know him and getting to know him as an artist. And the thing that I think surprised me a bit on it is he is incredibly well-versed in the history of photography. He knows all the way back, you know, Ansel Adams and before, but all the way up to contemporary and kind of knowing where he's in that conversation. He knows he's coming out of this new topographics, you know, generation or kind of, I think, influence. So he'd be kind of second, third generation now. Yeah. But the Stephen Shores, the Joel Sternfelds, like he's the really of that.
Yeah.
Eggleston.
Yeah. No.
That's a group that he admires, really looks to and understands how he's a continuation of some of that work. So I was really impressed with how well-versed he is in the photographic language. And then if you're a photographer and you get into talking about the technical details with him too, he loves that as well. And equally well-versed on that side. So he's a true, you know, artist, but also a technician, and he has an incredible eye.
And what I was really struck by is he put a lot of miles in the state, because there are places I've been everywhere in the state, I thought, but he found some places I've never even heard of.
He did. He put over 3,000 miles on and driving around and shot, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of rolls of film to make this series. And he probably could have kept going. We just kind of put a stop on it because the show is coming up, you know, with it. And I think what's going to be exciting is we're also working on a catalog for this that we're hoping will be out by December. And in that, we'll share even more images, some of which we couldn't put on the walls. We ran out of space. So it'll be kind of showing, I think, an extended kind of view of the overall series. And what I think this does do pretty well, actually very well, is it shows a whole range of Oklahoma. I think it shows a range of Oklahoma through things that aren't the expected. There's no, you know, Tulsa Driller in there. These are really looking at things that are a bit more subtle than that, but I think really tells a story of the beauty of the landscape here, shows kind of the dichotomy of things going on, and I think it shows Jason's particular eye in looking at those. You know, the reason the title of the show is, you know, OK, Jason Lee Photographs. It's like it is Jason Lee's vision of what this is. And he's not pretending to be an expert on any of this and saying this is the definitive anything. He's saying that this is my experience over this year of what I saw.
Oh. Two exhibits of forgotten landscapes and forgotten people on display at Philbrook downtown through November 10th, the Larry Clark's Tulsa series and Jason Lee's OK, Jason Lee Photographs. Scott, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Scott Stulen is the executive director of Philbrook Museum. He's also the curator for Jason Lee's Photographs, one of two exhibits now showing at Philbrook downtown, Larry Clark's Tulsa series and Jason Lee's OK, Jason Lee's Photographs, now on display through November 10th at Philbrook. For information, visit philbrook.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.